of John, the Gospel of John this morning, not hard to find. Gospel of John, chapter number 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, first four books of the New Testament, and John chapter number 4 this morning. And we're going to start there, and we're going to look at one of the miracles of Jesus Christ. And thank God, He performed a lot of miracles. Matter of fact, everyone that ever came to Jesus received healing and touch and grace and mercy. And God richly blessed those who would come to Him. And you know, in His day He did that, and He still does that in our day. Amen. And thank God that He does. So if you found John chapter 4, verse number 46, say amen, and we'll know you're there this morning. All right, verse number 46, this is what the Bible says. It says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where He made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Hey, he's beseeching the Lord. He's desperate. When your child's dying, you'll be desperate. When your loved one has no hope, you'll be desperate. And he says, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said to them, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And when he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, and the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus saith unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This again is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now we'll take our text out of verse number 50, where it says, Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And notice what it says. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And what I want to preach on this morning is this little thought is believing God. Believing God. You say, what's the problem in the day in which we live? We live in a generation that has no faith. No faith in anyone or anything. And an unbelieving generation that cannot believe. And that's why this generation is so desperate in their condition and their situation. Because faith is the basis of all blessings in the child of God's life. Matter of fact, it's the basis of all blessing in anyone's life. And this father received the healing for his dying son because he believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. Would to God we could believe in God this morning. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the word. Father, I thank you for the word this morning. And God, believing you is the greatest thing that we can possibly do. Believing you and obeying you and have confidence in you. Knowing, God, that you can do anything. You're the mighty God and the great King. You're the lover of our soul. And God, may we understand this morning that if we'll simply believe and obey, then our hearts will be blessed. And God, I pray you help us all to make application this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning as I preach on this thought of believing God, this is a great story of God's power, man's faith, and the subsequent blessing. The key to receiving anything from God is simple faith. Simple faith. Childlike faith. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 18:13, except ye be converted and become as a child, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. You say, why is a childlike faith so important? Because that faith is an unwavering faith. That is a faith that's an unshaken faith. That is a faith that is a strong faith. You tell a child something and they'll believe it. And they'll believe it with everything that's inside of them. I mean, for years and years and years, we've been picking up kids and bringing them to church. And the kids believe things that no one else believes. And they'll ask you questions as, hey, what about that man on the moon? What about them crying? And I'm thinking, who told you that was real? Now we know that's the nursery rhymes and all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you right now, kids believe things. And they have faith to believe things. And the reason our country is in so much trouble this morning is because this is a generation of no faith. Who cannot believe in anything. Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is reward of them that diligently seek Him. It's all about faith. It is all about believing. James 1, if you look there this morning, and this is just the way of introduction. James chapter number 1, after the book of Hebrews. James 1, and notice what it says in verse number 1. James, the servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered about, greeting, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And he said this, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in his all his ways. Let me tell you, faith is an important thing. It's the key. Faith and believing is the key that unlocks the storehouse of heaven. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, a man came to Him and He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then He said in Mark 10:27, for with God all things are possible. You know, a little bit of faith and believing can move mountains in your life. Move mountains in your life. And I've seen God move mountains in people's lives. He's moved mountains in my life. How? By simply believing that He can. Conquering giants. Can I tell you, there are situations in your life that are far greater than you're able to withstand. And God allows things to come into your life so there'll be dependence upon Him. The greater the trial, the greater the deliverance. But we can only conquer giants and move mountains by faith and believing. Faith and believing defeats the foe, strengthens the weak, and heals the sick. In verse 50, when that man walked away, and it says that the man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him, and he went his way. And the Bible says, when his son was healed, when he inquired, he said it was at the very hour that God said, thy son liveth. And what does it say about him and his whole family? So the father knew in verse 53 that it was the same hour in the which Jesus said to him, my son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Isn't it great when the whole house believes on Jesus Christ? You talk about household salvation. It's a wonderful thing to believe on Jesus Christ. But it all comes down to believing in Him. Now let me say this morning. I got a few simple little things. I want to consider what believing does. What does believing do? What does believing on the Lord Jesus Christ do? The first thing this morning is a simple thing, and we know that it's true, that it gives forgiveness. You got to believe on Jesus Christ to receive forgiveness. And thank God, we sang that song, I remember the day when the Lord saved me. Hallelujah! It was by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16 this morning. And of course, this is the story of the Philippian jailer and how he believed on Jesus Christ and his whole house. But notice what it says. Paul's in jail. The jailer put him there. He thrust him into the inner prison. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there's a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. You say, how did that happen? Because Paul and Silas did not lose their faith in God. They sang praises at midnight. Hallelujah. You know, if you could praise God when things are going wrong, you'd be surprised what God would do for you. All this losing your faith, let me tell you, that's the worst thing you can do in your life, is to lose your faith in God. They're in the inner prison. The cockroaches are crawling on them. The bugs are all over them. The rats are biting them. They're in the stocks, for God's sake. They're black. Their backs are bloody and beaten and raw. And their faith is stronger than it's ever been. And they begin to sing and shout, and God shakes the foundation of the prince, of the prison. He landed his chariot a little too hard. Hallelujah, it's a joke. But what's the point? God set them free. Because they maintained their faith in the midst of trial and hardship. It says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoner had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Isn't it amazing he knew who to come to? The men that have faith in God, the men that have preached the everlasting gospel, the men that love Jesus Christ. People to me come to me all the time that are sinners without God, and they say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I said, of course I'll pray for you. There's something about having faith in God. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? The most clearest question ever asked. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in my house. You want to escape hell? You want to escape judgment? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in my house. Sometimes it only takes one person to get saved. And the whole house can come to Christ. One of these kids who ride the bus got saved and really began to live for Jesus Christ. Their whole family might get saved. I was the first one to get saved in my house. And my brother got saved and my sister got saved. Hallelujah! My mom got saved. Believing on Jesus Christ does something. And let me tell you, if you want forgiveness of sins, there's got to be believing in Jesus Christ for that to happen. Simple faith in Christ took care of all his sin, solved all his problems, and set him on a new path. Look what it says. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took him the same hour of the night and washed his stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. Amen. And when he had brought them out of the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He believed on God and he believed in God. Amen. And his life was changed forever. Thank God that's what believing does. You're right there in Acts. Look in Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8 in verse number 29, you have the story of the Ethiopian eunuch who believed on Jesus Christ. And he hears Philip's preaching. Look what it says in verse number 29. And it says, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, so that understands what thou readest. And he said unto him, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. You know why you need preaching? To give you instruction what you need to do. For someone to show you the way of salvation. The place of the scripture he read was this. He was led as sheep to the slaughter like a lamb done before a shearer. So he opened not his mouth in his humiliation. His judgment is taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You say, what did Philip tell him? You need to believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or you're going to hell. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and a eunuch said, see, here is water. What hath hindered me to be baptized? Hey, it's a natural thing. You believe on Jesus Christ, and you follow in believers' baptism. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And he carried the gospel to Ethiopia. And countless souls came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Receiving forgiveness by faith, will make a person shout and cry and laugh and rejoice. Why? Because the heavy load of sin is removed. Sin is like a 500-pound weight that you carry on your back. It produces gloom and doom and darkness and depression and dread. But let that load be lifted. It was Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Led a person to Christ many times, and they've said, I feel so light. Why? Because the burden of sin has been lifted off of them. The filth and the wickedness and the dirtiness and the guilt and the shame. I felt that before I got saved. Felt dirty and ashamed. That morning I got saved, I was a new person. I'll tell you, that morning I was numb with cleansing. It was like I had woke up and I was a new person. And you know what? I was. Hallelujah. I was. I went to bed that night singing the night before, I'm on the highway to hell. And that morning I got up and I got saved. And Sunday morning I was singing, bringing in the sheaves. Hallelujah. Bringing in the sheaves. All more Christian soldiers. You talk about a radical change. Them two things don't go together. But salvation made me a new person. And forgiveness has changed my life forever. And I can report to you 43 years later, it's as great now as it was the moment I got saved. Being born again by simple faith is all it takes. Amen. Why was that man so blessed? Because he believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And it all starts right there by believing the word. That's how you get forgiveness of sins, by believing the word. What does believing do? It gives forgiveness of sins and it gives cleansing. Remember that song we'd sing as kids? Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do was take off the old robe and put on the new. Right? The old robe was dirty, all tattered and worn. The new robe was spotless and never been worn. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do was take off the old robe and put on the new. You say, why? Because it's cleansing. Isaiah 64:6 says we were clothed in filthy rags. And when we got saved, we put those off and put on the new robe of righteousness. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are always an unclean thing, and all our righteous filthy rags, we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. But believing makes you clean. Remember the story, the illustrated story of Naaman in the Bible? He was a leper. and he was unclean. He was a walking dead man because that's what leprosy is. And the flesh literally rots from the inside to the outside. And the outer extremities fall off, fingers fall off, toes fall off, ear falls off, nose falls off. It's a rotting, putrefying, stinking, horrible sight. And that was Naaman. But in 2 Kings chapter number 5, when he came to the prophet, Elisha, when he came to the prophet, And he came to him, and the king had sent him to him. Notice what it says there in 2 Kings 5, verse number 1. 2 Kings, let me get my spot here. 2 Kings 5, and the Bible makes it very clear what God did for him. 2 Kings 5 and verse 1, and the Bible says this, "And now Naaman, the captain of the host, the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him Lord had given him deliverance on the Syria, and he was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper." He's unclean. He's dying. He comes to Elisha. And it was said in verse 8, "And it was so that Elisha, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel.'" So Naaman came with his chariot and horses, or horses with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a message unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And my flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went his way and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come unto me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Arbana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came and near and spake unto him, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of a man of God, and his flesh came alive unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He's how to get cleansed, because he believed God and what the prophet said. This is such a great story, because that's what believing does. It gives you cleansing. I tell people, aren't you sick of feeling dirty? Aren't you sick of the filth and ungodliness of this world hanging all over you? Wouldn't you want to be clean for once in your life, for God's sake? What made him clean? Believing God is what made him clean. You know, believing God has cleansed my conscience and my spirit. All that guilt I used to wear because of what I'd done in my past. Now, I can still remember what I've done in my past, but I don't feel the guilt. You say, why? Because I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Believing God's Word. "Wherewithal shall young men cleanse his way? By taking heed there according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And the Bible says in Titus 3:5, "Not by works of rights we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Thank God there was cleansing. Thank God there's forgiveness. Thank God in the text there was healing. Thank God when this man believed the word that Jesus had spoken, he went on his way expecting to see his son made whole. And as his servant came to meet him, the Bible says in verse 51, "And as he was now going, his servants met him and told him, saying, 'Thy son liveth!'" But he already knew that. You say, why? Because he was believing what God said. Can I tell you that God can and God does still heal people? People say, "Well, I don't believe it." then you will never experience it either. You don't believe in God's healing power, you'll never experience it. You don't believe God's able to solve your problem, He'll never solve your problem. You say, Brother Chris, do you have problems? Of course I do. But I have a daily expectation that God's going to solve it. That God's going to fix it. That God is going to send deliverance. That's why you don't hear me coming and wailing and weeping when I walk in the door telling you how bad it is. Because I already talked to God and I know that He's going to fix it. Amen. I laugh sometimes. People bring me their heavy problem. They want a preacher to fix it. And I'm laughing because I can't fix my own problem. How am I going to fix theirs? I mean, are you kidding me? You think you got problems? It'd be funny one time someone came into office to share their burden and I gave them one of mine. You think you got problems? Here, have some of mine. Yeah, I'd be afraid they'd go out and commit suicide. Let me tell you something. Hey, God can solve our problems. You know where God has solved most of my problems? Right next to my bed where I bend my knee and cry out to God and ask Him to take care of it. The first thing I do is I pray when I'm sick. That's the first thing I do. Man, when I had that little attack a few weeks ago with that diverticulitis, I said, now, Lord, I got things to do today. I'm supposed to be at a funeral. The week after, I'm supposed to preach. I said, Lord, you're going to have to take care of this. And you're going to have to tell me what to do. And my first response was not to get in the car and go to the emergency room. I said, Lord, you're going to have to take care of this so I can take care of what you've given me to take care of. And He did. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, hey, I want you to go buy a can of Metamucil. I want you to start taking it immediately. And I did. If I'd have went to the doctor, what would He have told me? The same thing! Except I heard from the great physician first. Amen. Amen. Back in 2012, when I was so sick with that, one night with that stroke, I called the deacons at 2 in the morning. And I said, listen, you guys got to pray. Because if something don't change in the next few minutes, I've got to go to the emergency room. Called Brother Ron. He was camping out. He's down at the lake. 2 in the morning. Hey, I said, Brother Chris, you got to pray. Hey. Call Brother Doug. Needs you to pray. Call Brother Corky. Needs you to pray. Call Brother Ron. Needs you to pray. And I really need you to pray. And about 30 minutes later, that thing went away. Now, I didn't preach the next morning. Brother Ron did. But I'm telling you, God touched me that night. Amen. And I believe in prayer. And I believe in God's healing power. Amen. And that's why we experience it. Yes. Hey, I don't understand why everything is the way it is. But I know this. Sometimes it's God's divine finger. Sometimes it's the hand of a physician at the hospital. I'm not against either one of them. If I got a headache, I take a Tylenol. Scratch that. Excedrin. I take Excedrin. If my bones hurt, hey, Advil. What pain? Right? I got high blood pressure. Yeah, I take Lisinopril. Common sense. I'm not against medicine. But I'll tell you what, when the medicine ain't working, that's when I'm talking to God. Amen. But there has to be some believing in here. There has to be some believing. In 2 Chronicles 16:12, when Asa was sick, King Asa, it says, "And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until the disease was exceeding great. Yet the disease he sought not to the Lord, but unto physicians." I think we better be seeking God first. And if God, I don't worry about what the doctor says, I worry about what God says. And if the doctor's in agreement with God, then I'll listen to what the doctor says. Now, you can only understand that if you're working in the realm of faith. Because I do have a doctor and I see him every 6 months. So don't go out of here saying, "Brother Chris against doctors." No, thank God for doctors and nurses. Amen. But thank God for the great physician to lead us and guide us. My doctor said, "I don't know why you're experiencing the things you're experiencing. Here's the medicine, play with it." That's what you want to hear, right? From your cardiologist. "Here's the medicine, play with it. I don't know what's wrong with you." I said, "God, what am I supposed to do here? I got 4 bottles of medicine. What am I supposed to do here?" And the Lord said, "I want you to stop taking that one. And I want you to add one of them other ones." And that's exactly what I did. And I'm checking my stuff every day to see what my sugar is and my blood pressure is and my heart rate is. Hey, I got CardioMobile. I can look at my heart rate and see what it is. I told the doctors, "Hey, you want to see my EKG? I got it. It's right here on my phone. You want to see what my sugar is for the last 3 months? Here it is. You want to see what my blood pressure is? You want to see what my heart rate is? Here it is." I show it to him. He looks at it. He says, "Well, you're doing a good job." Hallelujah. But I'm still under his care. Because I've learned this. Doctors don't know everything. But King Jesus does. I'm just thankful I got a doctor can admit that he don't know what the problem is. You know why Asa kept going to the doctors? He had complete faith in them. We talked about that lady with the issue of blood on Wednesday night and preached about her. You know what her problem was? She had complete faith in doctors and they couldn't solve her problem. She needed God's healing touch. I'll tell you right now, some of our sicknesses are so great that only God can give us healing. You can take every medicine out there, but there's no solving your problem because it's too great. But God can do anything. This man, they had given up on his son. He came to Jesus and said, "Sir, come down ere my child die. Come down ere my child die." And Jesus said, "Then go thy way, thy son liveth." And he believed the word that was spoken unto him. I know people, God told them, "You're going to die." God tells you you're going to die. Hey, what did God tell Hezekiah? "Set your house in order. You're going to die." Hey, if God tells you you're going to die, guess what's going to happen? You're going to die. You can't change that. The last thing is simply this. Believing gives forgiveness. It gives, thank God that it does. It gives cleansing. It gives healing. And it gives blessing. No doubt believing in God will give you a blessing. Remember the story of Ruth? I love the story of Ruth. You say, what did Ruth do? She said, "I'm going to stay with Naomi and her God is going to be my God." And she believed God. If you look in the book of Ruth for just a minute, as we bring it to a close, in the book of Ruth, and after the book of Judges, the book of Ruth, notice what it says. In Ruth chapter number 1, she's a Moabitess. She's a heathen. She's a devil worshiper. But now she said, that's not going to be my way anymore. I'm going to worship the God of Israel. So she comes back with Naomi into Bethlehem. And the Bible says in verse 19, so the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitter with me. No kidding! She left her faith! She left the place of promise. And she went to a devil-worshipping nation. And no kidding, she came up empty. You turn your back on God, you're going to come up empty every time. But thank God she came to herself like the prodigal son. She heard that the Lord had visited His people. And hallelujah, Bethlehem is a house of bread. She said, I got to get back to where God was blessing me. She says in verse 21, I went out full and the Lord brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord have testified against me and the Almighty have afflicted me? So Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Chapter 2 says this, once Ruth had gone out to glean in the fields, once she had gone out to see what she could get, the Bible says in verse 5, Then said Boaz unto the servant that was over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged young men, they shall not touch thee? And when thou art thirst, go into the vessel and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed thee, me, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since death thine husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto the peoples thou knewest not heretofore. Look what he says. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. When you start believing in God, you're going to be blessed. God is going to work out all the details. And we know the end of the story. Chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee of this day of his kin without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better thee than seven sons that born him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, became a nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there's a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Amen. See what believing in God does? You walk away from God, you're not going to be blessed. And nothing is going to go right in your life. Simply believing, she was raised off of a dunghill. And God can do the same for any one of us. But you know what the problem is? We got the Thomas syndrome. Remember Thomas said in John 20? He said, I will not believe. Can I tell you that little statement will put you in hell one day? I will not believe. You'll see me in hell first. And you're right, we will. Say there is no God. Say I don't need Jesus Christ. And you will for certain die and go to hell. How many people have said that and went right out and died within the hour? How many people left the church in defiance, said, there's no way I'm going down there and asking Jesus to be my Savior? I'll tell you right now, one day they'll wish to God they had. Because there's something about believing. The worst thing you can do is have no faith. Or to lose your faith. I do not expect anybody to have faith in me. But I expect everybody to have faith in God. And where we go wrong is we put people in place of God. Do you have any faith? What did Jesus always tell the disciples? Where's your faith, boys? Where's your faith? How is it you have no faith? How come you can't believe? It's simple, childlike faith. He went home, the man did, believing the word. And his child was healed. His child was healed. I've lived long enough to hear people tell me, I know God is going to do X, Y, Z. I didn't believe it, but they did. And guess what God did? X, Y, Z. You say, why? Because they believed in it. I've heard people say, I know God's going to save my son. I know God's going to save my daughter. And they pray and believe, and them kids get saved. Amen. I know God's going to save my husband. I know God's going to save my wife. God ends up saving them. I know God's going to save my mommy and daddy. Oh, you got to be able to believe. Because that's the basis of all blessing. We give up too soon, folks. And God's working. But you got to believe. Let's stand to our feet for prayer. God's working this morning. God's convicting your heart this morning. You might need salvation this morning. But I'll tell you right now, it all begins with believing. You need a miracle this morning. It all begins with believing. You need healing this morning. It all begins with believing. You need God's blessing this morning. It all begins with believing. He can give cleansing. He can give renewing. He can give everlasting life. But I'll tell you right now, it begins with believing. You going to get anything from God? Or are you going to go away empty? Without believing, you'll never have anything. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. And God, that the Holy Spirit would convict hearts. God, that the Holy Spirit would bring renewing and cleansing and forgiveness. God, that the Holy Spirit, God, would cause those who are undone in their sin to consider where they're going to spend eternity. And Father, I pray You'd bless the Word. Only you, God, You're the only one that can bring that conviction. And God, I pray You'd bring it. Bless the invitation now as Brother Doug sings. As the instruments play, that the Holy Ghost might fall upon us. God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Head bowed, eyes closed, music's playing. Brother Doug's going to sing this morning. Would you let the Lord speak to your heart? Would you let Him speak to your heart? And if God's speaking to you, maybe you ought to come down and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Let us pray with you over that thing that you're carrying that only God can solve.
Yes.
And have some faith in God this morning. Would you let Him speak to you? Sing it, Brother.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to
just saying that, I believe that.
Yes,
I've seen God do so many miraculous things in people's lives. And just because it doesn't happen today doesn't mean it's not going to happen tomorrow. Have your confidence in God. Believe what He said. See if God won't work and move in your life and how it all pans out in the end. Believing does something. It changes everything. If only you can believe. This way. It has been good to be in the house of the Lord. God gave me something when I got saved. You know what He gave me? Just a little bit of faith. And over the years, that faith has grown and grown and grown. And God said, Chris, I'm going to take care of it. Let me take care of it. And the only time I get in trouble is when I put my hand on it. If I let God take care of it, boy, does He take care of it.
Man.
If we could let God take care of some things, you'd be surprised what God would do. But it all goes back to simply believing. Believing in, believing on, believing through. And all three of those things mean something different. Mm-hmm. To believe on is what brings salvation. To believe in is what gives us courage to walk. And to believe through is what gives us courage to continue. I'm glad I believed on. That's how I got saved. I believed in. That's how I ended up at church. And I believe through for the last 43 years. And it has made a difference in my life.
Man.
Would to God it could make a difference in yours. Would to God. Brother Doug, close us in prayer.
Father, I thank You this morning, Lord, that You have sent Your Son, Jesus, on the cross to pay for our sins.